You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to Stop. Hammer Time. I'm Jim Grant, and I'm standing in for an absent Phil Whelans, and joining me to discuss, an unusually successful week in recent times is Don Peretta.
Hi, everybody.
And old friend Pete Ward.
Hi, yeah. Hello, everyone.
Hi, guys. Nominally, I'm the host, but it's not a role I'm at all comfortable or accustomed to. So I think we should from now on treat the podcast as a sort of anarcho-syndicalist commune in which we all contribute merrily. But presumably we're going to start by talking about the game against Everton. What do we make of it, Don?
A pleasant upturn in form. Long way to go still, but nevertheless, I would say it's the formation we've kind of been screaming out for a while.
Yeah.
And I would say maybe to give Moyes a benefit of the doubt, he's just not been able to play it with the players he had available to him until Saturday. And the back five, I thought, worked very well. We had a bit more urgency. Our press still isn't wonderful, but it's getting there. And yeah. We scored goals. Hallelujah. We scored goals
from open play inside the box. Extraordinary. Yeah. You were particularly impressed with Aguerd, weren't you? As was I think.
Yes. Poise, stature. Great. I mean, he played some unbelievable passes, diagonal passes.
Yeah.
And he's much quicker than I thought he was. And that tackle at the end that could have easily been a penalty was an awesome, awesome, awesome tackle.
Beautifully timed, yeah. Really, really clean as well, Those long telescopic legs are quite impressive.
And
interceptions and stuff, you know. And good in the air as well, isn't he? You know, wins headers. Sorry, Pete.
Sorry, I've said, he was imperious. It was a really heartwarming to see him because it was only his third start, I think, in the team since he joined. And you saw exactly why we bought him. You know, I think he's the leader at the back. He's got more going on, I think, than Zuma has in terms of organisation. I think he will be our leader at the back.
Yeah,
I think we'll be playing five at the back for the rest of the season, given that's what Moyes did on both occasions when he came back, shored us up. So I think there's only going to be two midfielders, which is going to have implications for Suchek and Paqueta.
We'll come on to talk about Paqueta in a minute, but I just to pick up on your point on it. I'm pretty sure that when the season, in the summer, admittedly, obviously, Bonner was coming back from long-term injury, but they, in his head, Moyes must have been hoping that back three was going to be where he started, and Emerson surely was brought in to play wing-back. He's a lot more of a wing-back than he is a conventional full-back, it feels to me.
Yeah.
As his little burst and shot, you know.
He's very good at that. Very good at that.
Yeah, I think, you know, he runs at people, carries the ball well. And in that sense, you know, an upgrade on Masuaku, who was also better suited to the left wing back role, you could argue, than left back. And Soufal was solid, wasn't he, as well? So I agree, Pete. I think we looked much, much, much more solid. I know it's a bit of a toothless Everton team, but you know, you'd have to hope that is a settled defence for a while.
Tactically, it suited us better because I don't know if you saw the possession statistics, but Everton had like nearly 60% possession overall in the whole game. And in the second half, they had like 68%, which is where we've been most comfortable the last few years, and that is
I think the attempted or the putative transition to a possession based team that passes through the lines and all that has probably got to go on hold in the relegation firefight, hasn't it? Really, I think we Bowen's at his best in a counter attacking setup, isn't he? As was demonstrated, the playing with wing backs allows him to get tuck in and get a bit closer to the central striker, and swap over with the central striker. Kind of makes sense to me. I felt Benrahma was a little bit isolated. Well, not isolated, but just a little bit lackluster. He didn't really fancy going right up against Mina, did he?
No.
he didn't like that thought, that physical challenge.
He had a couple of moments, but he was definitely subdued.
He had a good shot in the first half.
He did. And he did a little drag through to 4 when Declan had his chance. That was a nice little turn and feed through to Declan.
But
it was definitely a modest showing from him. I think the back five thing is, I think for a long time, the back five, given the quality of our fullbacks, has always been the better option.
Yes.
We just never done it. Enough, anyway.
Yeah.
You know, because Cresswell, God bless him, but he is exposed frequently for his lack of pace.
It's interesting. When Moyes employed it, first time around in keeping us up, he had a regular back three of, if you remember, Ogbonna in the middle.
Yeah.
But Cresswell on the left.
On the left,
and Declan Rice on the right.
And that suits Cresswell more, doesn't it?
It does suit Cresswell more. So he could fit in there. Playing defence, obviously the news that Dawson has been moved on. Does that mean we're confident in the fitness of Zouma and of Bonner?
I think we're looking to sign another defence.
You think another one?
Yeah, keep reading Michael Keane, unfortunately. Signing someone for nothing on loan for the season as cover.
I
wouldn't be surprised, given what they've actually managed to achieve and how long's left in the transfer window. I think we might be faced with a couple of loan signings to shore up the squad, unless they can pull off one of their striker targets that's been mentioned.
Dawson's got to go down as one of Moyes' more successful signings on balance, hasn't it? I mean, we even made a profit on him, and we, I think.
Absolutely. Crazy.
People were very sceptical. I mean, I think I was sceptical. We all were sceptical when he arrived. Thought he was just a bit of a clogger. But
journeyman, I think, is the polite way to describe him.
Yeah, and he turned out to be a bit more than that, didn't he? Very, very good in the air in both boxes. Blood and guts.
Ginger Pelé-esque, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was that style, wasn't he? And not prone to the odd mistake as central defenders tend to be on the ball.
But
also case
solid. Very solid. Good luck to him. And he also embraced the cause, didn't he?
He did.
He loved playing for us.
He did.
He didn't play for quite a while. When they first signed him, we forgot that he was in our squad. And
that's right.
No one really understood why he was there. And then he came in and he was fantastic from the first game that he played.
And scored goals. He scored. He was a major reason why he was such a threat in those lockdown games from set pieces, weren't we?
Yeah.
We at some point we should touch on the fact that we just don't score set pieces anymore.
It's very odd, isn't it? I don't think the delivery is as good as one thing. If we want to start doing that discussion now, I think previously, when Bowen was whipping them in hard and Cresswell from the other side, the delivery was much better. Lately, they're often, like when they did the short corner the other day, eventually it led to the goal. The where they laid it back to Soufal, and he didn't beat the first defender again. I mean, it did go in eventually, but constantly we're not beating the first defender, which was never the case when we were scoring goals.
No,
Declan Rice tried to take a corner.
Barely
got in the box.
No,
it was really strange. I mean, I sort of think that's the danger. I think one of the things is letting him have so much freedom now. Taking penalties and things and stuff hasn't always worked out for us.
No. It's still Bowen taking them from
the right hand side.
And it, of course, is one thing you do lose when Cresswell is out of the team is his delivery. But you know he's gone off the board in that respect. Fournals used to take the odd corner, didn't he?
It's just not as good. For some reason, it's just not as good. And even, the crossing generally, whether it's from the corners or from the flanks, is definitely taken a downturn. And it's no obvious reason why, because, Soufal and Cresswell were assist machines, weren't they, that season? Mm. They just couldn't stop getting great balls in. And now we hardly have any decent crosses into the box.
No. It's one of the things I liked about... Sorry,
Don. Do you think they don't practice them anymore? I just wonder. A lot of our play this season makes you wonder what goes on at the training ground, and they're focusing on something completely different. And well, I guess that's possibly actually the case, is trying to change the team into being much more comfortable in possession tactically and dropping the old game plan, which was counter-attack at pace, lots of really good crosses and set pieces made.
Yeah.
Difference. We've just left that behind.
Yeah. One of the things I liked about Emerson's performance was the fact he was clearly picking a man out with the cross, and his cross led to the first goal. It was a difficult one for the defence to deal with, and Bowen poached nicely. And then there were a couple of others where he definitely kind of looked up and deliberately, crossed, but was looking for the man rather than that aimless, I'm just going to put it into an area that we've tended to do most of the season.
Yeah, people forget, he's an Italian international fullback. He's got experience and guile, and he played at Chelsea for a long time. So, he's no mug. He brings with him, a lot of, good stuff. So I rate him, and obviously he's much better as a wing back than he is as a full back, and as you say, hopefully we can, injuries forbidden, although we can't say that because it's us.
We should
have that back five for as long as we possibly can, because it definitely works. And Fabianski, he did what he needed to do just about on Saturday, didn't he? He flattered one cross very badly.
Yeah, he worries me a bit. I don't feel he gets off his line quick enough at times.
No.
I don't feel he commands his area with confidence. Sometimes he's good. I mean, let's be clear. He's
great shot
good,
stopper.
And he's been very consistent. Although I think the goalkeeping position is something we need to properly address in the summer, because I'm not convinced by our...
Well, it's interesting.
After that Blackburn game.
Oh, yeah. See that? I don't know if, Don, if you were at the Blackburn game.
No, I wasn't.
Or saw it. But I think it's the worst performance in a penalty shootout by two goalkeepers that I have ever seen. I mean, most of the time there might as well just have been an empty net. And it was only when Ogbonna actually, didn't hit the target that the thing was wrong. No one was ever going to save that. Arriola didn't even seem to try. It was...
No, dived out the way.
Absolutely.
Both goalkeepers.
Yeah. So that rather took the shine off Arriola for me, because I feel he's been... pretty good, and I'm sort of surprised, having signed him on my permanent deal, I'm sort of surprised he didn't switch to being the number one and fab for the cup games. But obviously, you have to do it in training, presumably. I don't know. And now he's injured, isn't he? I don't know.
No, he was on the bench.
He's back on the bench.
Yeah. Yeah. But I still think between Fabianski and Areola, there's a mistake waiting to happen, and I would have thought we'd look at that in the summer as a really? As try and fix yeah. long term fix, you know.
Yeah, maybe. Let's move, because we were talking about you mentioned Paqueta and Rice. Convince me, somebody, about Paqueta, because I'm beginning to really. I've mentioned this a couple of times. I'm beginning to worry about what he really is or does. Mm. I need to be persuade me, because obviously he must be a good footballer, but he hasn't shown it for us, has he? Really?
He started off okay. He started off okay. Had a couple of good games in Europe where he looked excellent.
Okay.
But in the league, no, he hasn't. Definitely not. And you wonder. It's hard to see why, because he's not actually getting involved much, is he? He runs around a lot, but in terms of carrying the ball, and I think he plays better with Scamacca, to be fair. I think he will find him, so that's something we should look at. But, yeah, I think it's a lot of money for not a lot at the moment.
Yeah, I watched him during the World Cup. I watched the Brazil games that he was in.
Same here.
To try and figure out, I thought, what is this enigma we've got? And he was quite a deep-lying player, like you said, Jim, more of a water carrier, really, because he's got four blinding forwards in front of him, and he could join in, you know, at the last minute. I saw things like late arriving in the penalty area, ghosting in. That looked quite encouraging. But I failed to see what he's good at. At the moment, you know, but always worry he's going to give the ball away. He did a lot of that in games where he wasn't playing well at all.
Well, he wanted
nice flick
in his first few league games. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You see that. You see the quality at times, but he definitely and still at times he's getting better, isn't he? But he still wants too much time on the ball. Gets knocked off it a bit easily. Expects referees to give him fouls that. He doesn't get but as you say, I mean, you can't. It's hard to imagine a team more different from West Ham. That Brazil team, you know, he's playing behind, you know, Richarlison, Vinicius Junior,
Neymar. It's ridiculous.
He's playing behind this incredible attack. So they just need someone to, you know, as a hub in the attacking third, don't they? He's sort of playing in the number 10 space, but he's not really a number 10 in the sense that he's just facilitating, just letting the other guys do their stuff, isn't he? And then you've got Casemiro sitting in front of a back four.
Well,
I think
in a way he played the Declan Rice role at Lyon. Because he's a very hard, I don't know if you noticed, but he's a very hard working, stylist. He puts a lot of work in, and he will chuck himself into a tackle and stuff. And that's the role he played at Lyon, and carrying the ball forward. Thing is, we don't need two Declan Rices. We need, you know, it may be if and when Declan goes that he may fit into that position, but I don't think that's why, Moyes bought him. I think, you know, this whole notion of possession football maybe was predicated on the fact that players like Paquetá were coming to the club. He hasn't even done a Felipe Anderson yet, has he? You know,
I don't think he's clearly a very different player from Anderson, both in terms of, you know, what he does, but also. Temperamentally, one thing I wouldn't question is his commitment and his work ethic in games. And he likes to tackle, you know. I get that. I think it feels as though maybe we just didn't do the full scouting job on him, because it felt like we were in the market for a number 10, weren't we? We tried to gut the guy. The Polish guy at Napoli.
Yeah.
He wasn't interested. And then we spent a long time, and it looked as though it was going to happen, getting the tall guy, but he is number 10.
Vanaken.
At Bruges. Vanaken. And I think he wanted to come, but the, you know, the club wouldn't agree terms. So he was kind of sort of third choice for the sort of marquee signing, wasn't he? And he's clearly not the same sort of player as those other two. He's more of a number. I don't get these numbers thing, but he is more of a number eight, isn't he, than a number 10.
Yeah.
In a sense. But that's, of course, what increasingly Declan fancies himself as opposed to a number four.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, he definitely, you know, he's on a leash for England, isn't he, Rice?
Yeah.
He simply plays in that very disciplined, sit in front of the back four, break things up, start things from deep. And occasionally, as the game goes on, if we're either chasing it or fully in control, you'll get the beginning of those kind of marauding runs. And he's great at them, isn't he? He almost scored, you know, with one.
He did, yeah.
On Saturday. It was terrific, you know.
Bonzo's great style.
Inside ball from Benrahma to set it up, you know. But
it was Billy Bond's style, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Rampaging.
Yeah. Well, that's what I suppose Bonds was at his best, was a rampaging number four, wasn't he? You know?
Yeah, definitely.
But you could play, I mean, Bonds, you could play anywhere, really. I mean, an extraordinary player. I noticed that Pete May, in his great write-up game, termed the game El Sakiko.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah.
And obviously it has turned out that... The sack race was won by our dear Frank. Maybe let's think about... Maybe we should get on to talk about Moyes and the rest of the season after this break.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Welcome back. So, how do we feel about the Moyes situation going forward? A lot of people, you know, would he have got the sack if the result had been the other way around? We strongly suspect he would, don't we?
Well, I think he probably would have done, because we'd have been on 15 points. Everything's still pointing in the wrong direction. We would have been second from bottom. So I think, yes, I think he probably would have got the sack. I think he's pretty certain. I think a draw would have been, which I think Phil and I both predicted a draw.
Yeah, I thought it would be a draw.
Result. Mm-hmm. Worst result would have been a draw, really, because it would have been kind of an unresolved, old and resolved contradiction. But I think he would definitely was going to get the boot. And I think we're very fearful of who would have come in to replace him. He's got the rest of the transfer window left, because the Derby game is next, league game isn't until February. So if there are a few more incomings, that might help, and it might give them a chance. Now, you know, they've only lost one game in four, a victory in the cup. No, but I mean, psychologically, it is of these small events do start to turn the dial, you know. And there are seven teams down there. There's still just 3 points separating them.
Yeah.
It's still very difficult to predict who will actually eventually go down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's obvious the teams like Southampton and Bournemouth, we'd hope they will, because probably the
worst. I think everyone up to Palace is right in it. I think Palace, you know.
Palace can easily get sucked into that now as well.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. They're in a bad spell, aren't they?
We've got this pretty tough run of games, but then so's everyone else. And
yes, except that Spurs are not firing on all cylinders at the moment. No. And Chelsea, maybe just coming out of a difficult patch of adjusting to Potter's methods. But I just think we raise our game against better teams, you know.
Yeah, we do.
Quite often. You know, even though we were beaten easily by Arsenal, actually in the end, we did have our little moments even in that game. I hopefully they will draw some self-belief and confidence from the performance as well as from the result. Bowen, you know, back on the score sheet, had a good game. I do think the wing backs thing suits him. He gets more involved. He's got less in the way of defensive responsibilities. You know, I think it freed him up a bit, I thought.
I think they looked like a more balanced team, and also it gave Antonio the chance to go wide when she's very effective out with his pace, interchanging. With new players coming back from injury. If that's a system that we are playing, it may well suit Scamacca.
It might well give us
a chance to see Antonio, if he stays with us, play up front with Scamacca on one of the wings.
Yeah.
With Owen on the other wing, that would be a pretty awesome front three with Benrahma to come on as an impact sub. And Danny Ings, of course, is an impact sub once he's over his latest injury. irony.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
Ings played 15 minutes and is injured for a few weeks.
Injured.
Mental.
And he's got a pretty good injury record, hasn't he? He has not, actually.
No, he's not. They're both ACLs, I think. But I think in recent years he'd fully recovered. He became a slightly different player, Lanzini just came back from the ACL as a different type of player eventually. But he's had a good injury record in the last couple of years when he's been at Villa.
Right.
Southampton. Yeah, I think he pretty much got over it. But apparently the knee injury is not related to any previous injury. It's just something.
Okay.
Well, let's hope so.
It's like the quote is a few weeks out, but you never know what they mean when they say that.
Yeah.
If we could go back to Moyes again, I'm not sure, Pete, that actually he would have got the sack, because perhaps if Pochettino had been available, then yes, or Tuchel. But given, as you alluded to, the potential replacements that are available out there, I think they would have. I don't think they'd have invested money in Ings, quite a lot of money, if you ask me. If they were going to sack him straight after that, admittedly, if we'd been appalling against Everton, then possibly. But I think it would have depended on the kind of performance we'd have had before they'd make that decision. But luckily, we don't have to worry about that for the moment.
Well, I think that if you weighed up on last week's podcast when you guys were talking about what the potential replacements would be, I mean, the risk actually seems, if you on balance, you're thinking Benitez, Dyche, or even a Bielsa or something, the risk actually was greater. I think if you kind of sat there and tried to work it out, you'd be better off sticking with what you know. Because I wonder, actually, if we get to the end of the season, it's going to depend a lot what happens in the Conference League. Because if we do win that and qualify for the Europa League next year, even if we finish, 15th or at worst 17th and survive,
still got your
opinion. I wonder if the Moyes project might have run out of steam in the summer. If the right potential replacement becomes available, whether that's Potter. I mean, this talk about Pochettino and Tuchel should just never be mentioned again.
They're not going to be
stupid. But a young, progressive British manager who came available, like Potter, and it's like the work that the job Eddie Howe's managed to do at Newcastle, albeit he's had a reasonably large transfer budget. He's not doing what Chelsea are doing, which Chelsea now be almost like Nottingham Forest. They would have signed. They're looking at signing five or six players in this window.
Yeah,
and they signed five or six in the summer, almost like Conte style. You know,
yeah,
and squad. rotating in and out players who have forgotten, have one good game and they're never seen again. You know, it's just a sort of kind of bizarre, directionless sort of strategy.
Yeah.
But do we think we're stuck with or we'll stick with Moyes to the end of the season now?
I would have thought we will, because anybody who comes in can't do any transfer business. So
that's true.
With that squad. And it's going to be someone who's available, like Frank Lampard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, it's not going to be someone, it's a project. And I wonder if by the end of this season, you know, if we get a third consecutive season in European competition, second, we, you know, it'd be a third one. Whether it's time to think, you know, they're paid, Moyes, I think, will only have 2 years left on his contract, I think, or 18 months. I can't remember exactly what they gave him when he came in before. They gave him a 3.5-year contract, didn't they?
Didn't they renew?
Maybe they did. But anyway, they might think, if I guess it depends an awful lot on who might be available, whether it's Vieira or Vincent Kompany, Potter, someone who looks like they've got something, they know they've got a proper game plan, a lot of respect in the game. And you think, well, okay, this next 5 years, we're going to give this person, we're going to move on to more progressive footing for the future. Yeah. I mean, Moyes has been fantastic for us, you know, probably one of our most successful managers in terms of what it's managed to achieve in such a short space of time. But I think what's really happened in the last 12 months is we've seen that he's self-destructively stubborn and backward. But a little bit backwards, and he's thinking maybe a little bit too old-fashioned. And we need someone with a lot more flexibility, who's certainly with a focus. If you want to keep those players like Paquetá and Scamacca and attract more of them, you've got to be playing a different type of. You've got to be able to play more than one system, two systems. Mm. And I think it's been incredibly disappointing seeing it. Literally, bloody mindedness. Been picking that very predictable team. Right up until the weekend, to be honest.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, it's kind of like we never need to even look at the lineup. We always knew it's going to be Souček and Rice, the back four who are available and fit standing. Bowen would always start. And then would it be Benrahma? Would it be Fornals? Would it be Scamacca? Would it be Antonio? I mean, those are the only options. It's not really.
Yeah. I think, one last point.
Going back to last January, when we did not sign anybody or even a striker, so we just carried on with Mikel Antonio, just sort of like soldiering on.
I think we paid a real price for that inactivity. Yeah. January, I mentioned that. I think a week or two past, you know, that led inevitably to the large scale. Signings of the summer, and you know, Moyes is on record as saying he doesn't like doing that. He only wants to bring in two or three who are going to improve your first team. You know, we put ourselves in a position of needing bodies, and still didn't properly address. You know, still went into the season with one untried Premier League striker, albeit you know one with great potential, and an aging Antonio with you know, needing to protect his hamstrings and, you know, and a converted striker anyway, not a natural goal scorer. That seems very remiss that they've now, you know, they've added Ings at this point. But we needed one of those in the summer on top of everything else, really.
Yeah. Well, last January, even, as you say.
Well, last January, absolutely.
Because we paid for it. At the end of the season, it caught up with us, you know.
Totally. And everybody could see that, you know, you can't just survive on one striker as we played for most of, you know, the previous season. And so then you can't integrate that many, you know, it's not just a question of on the pitch, but it's the whole sudden turnaround in terms of the dressing room and the training ground and Noble retiring and so on, Pierce moving on. You know, it was clear there was a big upheaval of the kind that I don't think in the ideal world Moyes would have wanted. And it's just a question of whether he can get it all the players will still trust him and whether he can get it all back on track. Part of me hopes he can, because I think we've all seen that he is a good manager. And if the options are Dyche or Benitez, it feels to me you're just as likely to go down with yeah. one of them I would rather stick with the continuity of Moyes. I think the question of the summer, Pete, as you're suggesting, is another one entirely, and I hope they do review it and think about it, because it might be that Potter puts now together a string of results at Chelsea and you know, wins everyone over there. But you have to feel that if they're looking like they might not get top four with a few weeks, you know, with a few months to go, they'll pull the trigger on him, won't they? I'd have him right there, you know, as a favourite in the sack.
They're way off. Chelsea are way off a European spot at all.
Yeah, right. Well, I think if that's still the case, a little way down the line, I think they'll.
Yeah, they may not be as trigger happy as they were under Abramovich, though, because
maybe not. So I still feel there must have been the feeling that they were hoping he'd do a sort of Eddie Howe, that they seen what he'd done at Brighton, and they were hoping that. But of course, it's a sort of mini Galactico-ish sort of club, isn't it? It works in a kind of different way. And I imagine he's had a bit of trouble getting his philosophy across. And it just feels like he would be such a good fit for us. Such a good fit.
Yeah. You
know, I don't think you can forget about Company, because he's going to take Burnley up by the look of it. And he'll want a crack at the Premier League with them almost certainly, and they'll certainly give him an improved deal. You'd have to fork out a lot of money to prize him away from Burnley, and there'll probably be a bit of a queue of clubs, you know, trying to do that. Pochettino, Tuchel, they're big names. I don't think they're going to come to West Ham, even if we do have Europa League football. I don't know. It would be nice for us to actually, kind of poach a manager at the top of their game. You know, as you say, be young and progressive and you know, ambitious, willing to really make, you know, build
Pardew-esque.
Yeah, Pardew-esque. Yeah, well, you know, Zola-esque, except of course, you know, he was in the middle of a shitstorm in so many different ways. I still have regrets that Zola didn't come off as West Ham manager, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
It was good for a little.
What I would say with Moyes now is sort of down to him. You know, the next things, European games. What he manages to do with that team now, the next six or seven games, if we can stay afloat above the worst areas down there. Some teams are falling apart, like Bournemouth. Southampton are stop-start. Unfortunately, Forest seem to be becoming much more resilient and more of a settled team.
Yeah.
But Leicester, look, you know, they're in a mess. Terrible mess, you know, and Everton. But there's talk in the papers tonight, on the press tonight, the media tonight, that Bielsa is the top of their number one
Everton
target. Yeah,
right.
And then another story in the same online newspaper, Richard Rain Anonymous, also runs a story that Sean Dyche is the favourite. But you know, Bielsa would need a whole pre-season with that team to get them fit. Well, to wear them out and make them injury prone, all of them.
What do we make of them? What do we make of? I mean, I thought Onana looked really good.
I think it was the only one.
But
the only player who looked like he was interested and had a real touch of class about him.
Yeah.
The rest of them they look like a team who.
I thought he looked okay.
But he does a lot of dancing, and he's got some fancy moves and everything, but no great end product to Iwobi, you know?
Yeah. Just
like, I think when a team's got that collective mindset, the manager's going to get the stack, we are awful, the fans are on our case, they want the ball to go. When you've got all that negativity around It's very difficult for quality. I mean, in Calvert-Lewin, we saw on Saturday, he's still way off being fully fit. He could have scored. He should have scored that ball, that goal that went fizzed across the penalty area.
Yeah, he should have got on the end of it.
He's looking like he might have been a kind of one season wonder, though.
Yeah, possibly. I think he might take him a year or so to get fit.
Yeah,
he's had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, and at the back they're a bit lumbering, aren't they?
Three great big giants.
Terrible at the back. Yeah. I thought they were tidy in possession without any incisiveness, but they're just terrible at the back.
There are a lot of teams, very mediocre teams in the Premier League, who are very tidy in possession, but don't have any punch.
Yeah.
Don't really have much personality. You know.
Yeah.
So you don't, you know, very interchangeable, aren't they? A lot of these teams. I mean, but as much as I admire what Thomas Frank is doing at Brentford, to me, they seem like a bit of an anonymous system team to me. You know, I wouldn't really...
Well, they're counter-punchers, aren't they? They're like we were for a while. You know, they're very athletic and very mobile and very, very good counter. I mean, that number they did on Man United earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Was some of the most thrilling counter-attacking football I've watched in a while. I mean, they just did them every time, sucked them on. He was trying to play Ericsson as a kind of holding midfielder, and they just kind of punished them. So, you know, that I think they do. I mean, I think that's possibly why they're looking fairly comfortable at the moment. Is they've got a very defined style. They know what they're doing. They all know their jobs. They know what they're doing.
Same with Fulham.
Same with
Brighton and Fulham, I'd say. Brighton maybe more so than Fulham, but Brighton look like another system team to me. Like, once you come on, you play, you do this job here. Your name might be McAllister, your name might be such and such, but this is the role that you play. They don't vary from that. That's why they can afford Brighton, in particular, seem to not suffer when they sell players £50 million, £30 million quid.
I think that's like a kind of Jenga situation. It's like Southampton were like that for a while. You can't, yeah. Eventually, it's not sustainable in the very long term, is it? Yeah. That model. I mean, it'll keep you going for a while, but eventually, you're not going to quite manage to replace your Trossard or your Cucurella or your, you know. I mean, there's a really quite impressive list of players that have moved on from there in the last couple of years.
Chelsea are after Casado, who's only been there since the beginning of the year. One thing I'd say about Cucurella is he's a really poor player for Chelsea. He was a good player for one season for Brighton, but he looks like an absolute liability and out of fish out of water at £62 million.
Yeah, they've wanted to just press him up, haven't they? Yeah. So coming up, we have FA Cup away at Brighton.
Derby.
Derby. Don't know why I said Brighton. It was on my head. And then looking further forward, obviously there are the European games. Are these cup runs, are these going to be important for morale, and do we really want to, you know, or are they going to be an awkward distraction from the business of survival?
I'd say they're really important psychologically. You know, if at the very least, you're going to get, we've got five games, we've only lost one game in five.
I think a cup run's always good for the team.
Yeah.
Getting dumped out embarrassingly is not good for the team. So we've got to go balls out for Derby. We can't lose to Derby.
Derby are not doing too badly in their league, are they? They're fourth.
No.
They're in the top six. And I think they've been on a bit of a winning run, aren't they? Someone mentioned the other day. I think they've been.
I don't know what the state of play is there, because they had all kinds of trouble, didn't they? All kinds of, you know, barely survived, really, didn't they?
We've got to be winning games like that. We've got to be building on the, you know, the losing habit is so easy to slip into, and we need to get a winning habit. So, you know, it's a great opportunity for people to, you know, to give a couple of youngsters a game, but, you know, get Flynn Downs on the pitch or what have you.
Well, I was pleased that he put out a pretty strong team at Brentford. We clearly took that seriously. I think that's what he'll be thinking. I hope you know, we can go on a bit of a run with that. And I hope that, you know, the form further down the line in Europe keeps going, because, you know, that could transform everything for him. You know, those are his opportunities to win something, aren't they? You know, and if he could be a manager that actually won something as a, you know, that would make a massive difference, I think, perception of him. We shall see. I shall go to that.
And it's on the telly, you know.
I know, but you know, I'm actually up north at the weekend, so
The weather will be improving by then.
Yeah,
the weather's just looking. It's going back into double
fish.
Hideous brass monkeys stuff. Just one question I had to ask: has anybody seen Le Maxwell Cornet? the ghost. There's no mention of him in dispatches ever anymore. No.
He could join a long, distinguished list of promising players who never sort of play. People will remember. Do you remember when Cornet scored a disallowed goal at Chelsea? And you know, it'll be one of those kind of. They're the annals of. You get up along like Richard Hall, Simon Webster, Eric Dyer. You know, there are a lot of them. Yeah.
Nigel Kwasi.
He only played 7 games for us, thank God. He had a sort of career-ending injury. I felt sorry for him, but also massively relieved. He was a shitty player.
It's when you mention some of these names that you realise, you know, actually we do have quite a decent squad. The thought of Gary Charles flickered across my head for a moment there.
Gary Breen.
Oh, Gary Bree. Oh, yeah. God. You know, so, you know.
Yeah, Malky Mackay. It's the dark days.
Yeah.
Roberto. There's definitely a whole team of forgotten.
Yeah.
Forgot they ever existed.
Oh, dear me. Yeah.
So, do we want to say anything about Frank while we're here?
Well, I don't know. He might have trouble getting another. He might have to go right down the ladder to climb back up again if he wants to be a manager. Or he might be better off looking elsewhere. I mean, he's it's not been a glittering career so far, has it?
No, and I wonder with players like, does he really want to do that job? It's a really fucking horrible job, I think, when you're loaded. I mean, I know these managers don't think like that. It's all about ego and themselves most of the time, because, you know, who would put up with that sort of shit for £5 million a year or whatever you get? You might as well take your pay off and then be a pundit. But I wonder if he really is like even Steve Gerrard. I mean, being a manager of Rangers is a relatively easy job, isn't it? You're going to win at least half your games. I mean, it's only one opponent, one difficult opponent.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not really, you know, it's not a real proper training manager.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's got to go down a division or two to get back and to rebuild his credibility, because right now he has none.
See, I don't see any of that. That era of that England squad, that whole Ericsson, Capello era, Beckham, Gerrard, like all the superstars, they were crap at international. They didn't like each other, never gelled as a team. None of them seem, no, I don't, there's a single one of them shows this sort of nous and guts that you need to become, a slight madness. You need to become a football manager. Even Rooney, you know, I think did a really admirable job at Derby by sticking with them through thick and thin to the very end. Yeah. But, I mean, he's not he's not exactly a brainy person, is he? He's not going to be particularly good at press conferences on whatever. I'm not sure. That whole generation, I think, really let us down internationally.
A subject for another show, I think.
It's interesting you mentioned Gerrard, because that they were similar players, weren't they?
And,
you know, that all action, you know, very much the sort of best players at their clubs. And sometimes I just think it is, and you know, Rooney, you can put in that bracket as well. It's difficult for you, I think, if you were just very, very good yourself, and sometimes it's harder to transmit that to work with players who you see aren't as good as you were. Do you know what I mean? I think sometimes the best coaches, the best teachers, the best, you know, are not necessarily the people who were the best at something themselves. It almost helps if you, you know, if you had your own struggles. I mean, I know they both had their great work ethic and all that. You know, we know that, but they clearly can't. They can't be as effective communicating, can they? Their ideas as someone like a Potter or a Howe or someone, you know, who weren't great players, but you know.
Well, the reality of it, most great managers were not very good footballers. No. There's a few that bucked the trend, but you know, Ferguson wasn't, Wenger wasn't. Some managers didn't even play at all.
Yeah.
No successful. So
yeah.
It's very rare the superstar player that becomes a decent manager. Very rare.
Very rare. Yeah. You know, Zidane, for example, you know, yeah. I mean, like Guardiola is a different proposition, but then he was a footballer.
Yeah. And some great managers, some really good managers have their careers prematurely ended. I mean, Lyle, who were good players, but had more time, you know, to develop their thoughts about the game, philosophy about the game, you know, become students of the game from the sidelines, you know. Defenders often make good managers, don't they? It's that sort of sense that an all-action goal-scoring midfielder has only really experienced the game from the kind of whirl and hurly-burly of the middle of the park. You know, at least a central defender is seeing the shape of the game in front of them, reading the game and so on. Yeah, I don't know, maybe that's got something to do with it.
That's consistently true, absolutely. I mean, I suppose Vincent Kompany, in a way, is proof of that.
Yeah, he does look really good, doesn't he? Yeah. We're not gonna, he's gonna bypass us.
That's true. He'll go Man City, won't he?
He's the kind of manager I'd love us to get, but he's gonna cut his teeth at Burnley and then he's gonna be a big Champions League club manager.
He'll take over from Guardiola, wouldn't he, potentially?
That's looking very likely, isn't it? I think we're gonna be a stage in his journey that he won't need.
He might stop off for pie and mash on the way.
He might do. Yeah. We might actually catch him, you know, in about 25 years' time on his way down.
Well, that's more likely, isn't it? So, right then, what do we think about the derby game then? Should we make our predictions?
I think we'll win. Because I'm going and I'm looking forward to it and I think it'll be possible. But I think these games are always tricky under the lights. It's a big match for them. They'll be up for it. 2-1.
So is there no extra time or is it straight to penalties? Do you know?
I think it might be, yeah. I suspect.
No, I think it's extra time and penalties.
Is it?
Extra time and penalties, yeah. I'm fairly sure.
But not a replay?
No replay, no.
There were replays in the third round, weren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, no replays now.
It's a bit weird, isn't it? Messing about. It's a bit weird that the rules of competition are different depending on which round you're in, isn't it? That's a bit, you
know. I guess the fixture list gets more crowded, though, and that's probably why they do it.
Yeah.
That's obviously the reason why they do it. So what's your prediction, Pete?
I think we're going to huff and puff, and it's going to be at 90 minutes level, at 1-1.
Negative. Well, I'm going to be hugely optimistic and say 3-0.
Nice. Good. I like it. I like the sound of it. Yeah. I'm going to finish. I think we need to wind this up. I'm going to finish with a sort of slightly off-beam poetry corner.
Yeah.
It needs context, this, I'm afraid, because you might have been there when we have a little drink, a little libation pre-game in Hackney Wick, and our old friend Chris Miles was there, and he was very, very excited about his chatbot app. Do you remember?
Yeah, ChatGPT, yeah.
ChatGPT. So, and he's sort of doing, he's basically saying my time as West Ham bardic genius is over, because he can now generate West Ham poems on his fucking chatbot. It's a very short, it's just a very little kind of grumpy I was going to call it why football will always need poets. And of course, football doesn't need poets at all, really. But there you go. And it goes like this. All smiles was my mate Chris Miles. All smiles while he was showing me his West Ham poetry created by some chatbot app called GPT. Oh, he was such a happy chappy as his app tapped out the words, the turds of digitally digested matter, the verbal splatter from some Silicon Colonic Valley's elementary canal. It's just banal, I said. You surely jest. But people were impressed. It's just generic, I complained. You could swap West Ham for some club's name and it would be the same. It can make it more specific, though, he grinned. It's terrific stuff. And sure enough, in but a trice, like it was in a hurry, it added Declan Rice to its insipid verbal curry. And no one seemed to worry that it also wrote Haller.
Awesome. I think you're safe for now, Jim.
Hope so. It has inspired me to actually, I think what I'm going to do is write a series of poems about weird experiences supporting West Ham that only like a chapbook could never imagine. That's my little challenge now, I think. Anyway, we're going to wrap up. Who needs Phil Williams? Is all I can say. I think he's on his holiday. I think he's off on his diving holiday, and I wish him sun and stuff. Good. Anyway, with us this week, dissecting the Everton game, looking forward to Derby, have been Don Peretta.
Good night, everybody.
And Pete Ward.
Goodbye, everyone.
And myself, Jim Grant. Cheerio. Come on, you Irons.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.